This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. It's a rainy Monday, and we're going to try to brighten up your day with a really great show. We've got Eddie Scarry joining us in the 1 o'clock. He's got a new book out, and he'll talk to us about that. We're going to take a lot of your calls today because there's a lot of breaking news. The number, if you want to join in, is 844-500-4242. You are welcome, as always, to call in and weigh in with your opinion on everything we're talking about. And I think today we're going to start with the news that broke on Friday. The Supreme Court had come to the decision on Friday to overturn Roe versus Wade. And this decision, well expected, because we did get the draft opinion that was leaked out in early May, was met with intense outrage over the weekend. I'm sure a lot of you were tuning in to, I tend to tune into local news when it comes to these kind of mass protests, because they're happening all over the country in smaller forms than the one that's happening in D.C. That is by far the biggest. They have, I was just listening to the Daily Wire, they have the pro-abortion versus the pro-lifers, and meanwhile, the cops in D.C. are just trying to make sure no one passes out from heat stroke. It's like 80-plus degrees there and incredibly humid, and all of these people are protesting. Most of it, I'm hoping, was peaceful. It wasn't. Here's what I will say. It was not nearly as wild as the Summer of Love riots that we saw. But there were situations where people did get completely out of hand. And, you know, there was a lot of bullying. And I do think a lot of parishes and churches across the country had to be very careful, had to get security over the weekend, had to keep their heads on a swivel. And we're going to talk all about this. We're going to get your opinions. And even though the left was outraged, a lot of people on the right were celebrating this weekend. I talked to a lot of people who said, hey, it was a lot of prayers. It was a long time. It was a long fight. So there was definitely two very different points of view. But the part of it that I want to talk about a little bit here is the group in the middle that is kind of watching this unfold and trying to figure out what to make of it. And before I get into that, there's this piece that I read in early May by John Hinderacher, who, by the way, Howie had on his show on Friday. And that interview that John did with Howie is not only on our website, gracecurlyshow.com. You can check out Howie's podcast there, but it's also on Paroline blog. So if you want to go listen to it, that's where you can. And John is always really great on these kind of sensitive topics. And he wrote a piece a while ago in early May, and it stuck with me for some reason because he kind of crystallized exactly how I was feeling, which is this is really going to come down to, because now the entire conversation, thanks to the way the Democrats are framing it, is this going to help Democrats in the midterms? And by the way, they're talking and using these same talking points and using these same sentences as they are wont to do when something like this happens. I think they are at this point betting on that. They're betting that this is going to be the thing to save them, to kind of buoy them from this, from their cratering poll numbers, and maybe make it so it's not a complete red wave. I'm not so convinced that's going to happen, because I think that as much as some people might disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, they also disagree with a lot of tactics on the left. And I want to read you this little snippet from Powerline, and then we will have this conversation. And again, I know I keep repeating it, but today's definitely a day to call in because we're going to focus a lot on this conversation. It's 844-500-4242. So this is from Powerline blog. The abortion issue has been more or less awash politically for decades. The Democrats believe that leaking the Dobbs majority opinion would help them in the midterm elections. But a great deal of polling since then suggests that abortion will continue to be a 50-50 issue, more or less. Although Democrats may gain somewhat by distracting attention from their awful performance in Washington. Keep in mind, this was before the decision. This was after the leak that John wrote this. But then there is the question of abortion extremism. While most Americans are conflicted about the core question of when abortion is proper and should be permitted, there are collateral issues on which opinion is clear, like the Democrats threatening the lives of Supreme Court justices who disagree with them. Now, that's the only part of it I wanted to read, and if it's a really good piece, so you should read the whole thing. But the part that stuck out to me, it says, while most Americans are conflicted about the core question of when abortion is proper and should be permitted. That is something that I think is completely lost on the left, is that there are a lot of people like myself, we're just going to open it up here, who are conflicted, who know that their life experience is different from someone else's life experience, and they don't really know exactly what's right and what's wrong. But people like me who can acknowledge that and who might say, I'm open to hearing, you know, different sides of the argument, we do know what's wrong when we see it. Does that make sense, Jared? Because I see there that you're...
It's, again, there's a certain universal constant that anger, rage, wanting to murder people and blow things up and burn things down is bad. And whoever is making that argument is on the wrong side of the argument.
And I think for a lot of people, no, I shouldn't say a lot of people, I think for the both far sides of this, the question or the issue of abortion for them personally is black and white. Like, you meet someone who's pro-choice, they don't see any other way. You meet someone who's pro-life, they don't see any other way. But for a great portion of this country, it is gray. It is tricky. People do question themselves. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be like, I'm on the fence, because trust me, I can't stand that. But I'm saying that because that's the experience I get, especially with people my age, and especially with women. Women take this and they really do think about it. And they really do question, you know, am I on the right side of this? Am I? But here's the rub, is that when you are questioning that, and then you see, for example, politicians getting on TV and telling their voters that they need to take up arms, or that women will be killed because of this decision. Someone like myself, who might be kind of trying to figure out both sides, suddenly goes, well, I know that's crazy. Well, I know that you're not being honest. Well, I know that you have no intention of partaking in an honest dialogue about this. You are not trying to advance any sort of moral righteous cause by doing that. By kind of feeding into, we get accused a lot in conservative media of throwing red meat to people. The amount of red meat that has been thrown out over the last 48 hours is something that I can look at and go, well, the intention there is not to inform. It's not to educate. It's not to win over hearts and minds. It's to win the midterms. It's to scare people, and it's to intimidate people. And when I see one side focusing on intimidation and bullying and telling people to shut up and bleep you, and if you don't like my opinion, don't listen to my music. If the Supreme Court does something I don't like, then they should be abolished. They're illegitimate. We should question how these people even got their jobs in the first place. We have to have hearings again. We have to pack the court. Well, that to me says, all right, I'm looking at both sides here, and one side is becoming increasingly unhinged. And they're the ones who want to win me over. And it turns you off of the topic completely, because you look at it and you go, wait, I came into this with an open mind, and now I'm looking at these protesters, a woman with a 8-month pregnant belly that has not a human being written on it. And you can tell me, oh, that's just one, but that's what I see. A picture's worth a thousand words. And so I don't know, as far as the midterms go, if this is going to have the effect the Democrats are banking on. Because I think a lot of people are watching how this plays out, and they're going to be watching closely to see which side stays sane and which side loses their mind. And another aspect of this is the dishonesty around the idea that people are not going to be able to get abortions. Forget the moral question. Forget if you believe abortions, are sinful, or if you think that they're, you know, a woman's right to choose is the most important thing. Let's say it's the number one thing on your ballot. What about the fact that the framing of this is just, it's not true. The framing of this is, if you're never going to be able to get this, it's completely absurd. In a lot of states, there's a law that gets triggered. They keep talking about the trigger laws that are going to make abortion illegal in certain states. And yeah, that is true. But they don't talk about the laws that in other states codify this so that you'll always be able to get an abortion there. And by the way, in those states like California, they're setting up sanctuaries so that women from other states who want to get abortions can travel to their state and get an abortion. And companies like Disney are saying, we'll pay. If you want to travel to another state and get an abortion, we will pay for it. We'll pay for all the procedures. So again, when I hear that this is the thing that's going to kill democracy, or even more absurd, this is going to kill women, I don't even understand the thought process. I don't understand how we deduce that from all of this. 844-500-4242. Beyond that, though, and we will continue to talk about it, there was just a lot of virtue signaling. There were celebrities who 48 hours ago or 72 hours ago, they were gun experts. And then 24 hours later, they're abortion experts. And then today, they're prayer experts because of the other Supreme Court decision. So the experts, it's nonstop. How much people know and how sure of themselves they are is mind-blowing to me. And then you have dumb virtue signaling. Like, some virtue signaling is better than others. Some of it resonates with its base. Kamala Harris's does not. She tweets out from Air Force Two looking at a CNN screen. And even her base, even the people who love Kamala, who said, Joe, we did it, Kamala Harris is the vice president, they looked at that tweet and they said, what is this supposed to do for us? Is this you helping? This was... And we have so many other things to get to as well. Nancy Pelosi is in the news for not a good reason. You know, Nancy for the Children Pelosi is seen shoving a young girl on stage. Not a good look for Nance. And Joe Biden is at the G7. So naturally, we have some sound from that. It's going to be a really great show. We're going to take your calls. If you have a different opinion, if you agree with me, I'm not going to lie, I would love some people to agree with me, but I would also love some people to disagree. So 844-500-4242. Really big show today. We'd love to take your calls. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Here's the thing, Steve. When you look at the Democrats, if they do not get their way, what do? They go out and they riot, or they try to change the rules. And so what they're trying to do is remove people from the court or pack onto the court. And President Biden has said he doesn't want to add people to the court. And I think that we have to look at what the Democrats, how they respond when they do not get their way.
I think that's a really good point by Senator Marsha Blackburn. And I think another argument that I've been hearing a lot and that I do understand is people who are saying, if it goes back to the states, then you're really putting even more power in people's hands than you would if it was up to the Supreme Court. So in one way, and I heard this today, like I mentioned on the podcast I listened to on my way in, Morning Wire, they said a lot of people are saying this is more democratic than it was before. And I do think there's truth to that. We have a lot of people on the lines, a lot of women on the lines. I'm excited about this. 844-500-4242. Let's start with Nancy. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Grace. Good morning. I think that most people feel like you do, that, you know, it's just hard to figure out what the right thing is to do. I think most people think about it sensibly and thoughtfully, as opposed to either extreme. So I don't think the Democrats do themselves any favor by refusing to acknowledge that any limit should be put on abortion, because that's not what most people want. Even reasonable pro-abortion people don't, you know, they realize there should be some limit on it, you know. But
yeah.
But the politicians I've heard just won't acknowledge any limit should be put on it.
Yeah, and we have, Nancy, that's a really good point, and we have a lot of sound from people, including John Fetterman, who's running against Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, and also Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor of Georgia and is currently governor of Georgia. Double whammy. It's really amazing. She's the incumbent, but she's also never won. I don't know how that works. But she was saying the same thing, where you can tell they really don't want to answer that question. She was actually on Fox News and with Martha McCallum, and she just refused to answer that question. And I do think it's an important one. I heard Joe Rogan. We have that old sound from Joe Rogan saying the same thing. At a certain point, you do have to be able to answer that question. Where do you draw the line? And while it's tough, and while I admit that I look at this all the time and go, I don't really have the answers, if you're a politician and you're going to claim that all of this is the end of the world, you do have to have an answer. And it can't be, well, it's between a doctor and a woman. That can't be the answer if we're going to have a real conversation about this.
Yeah, and not to get too much into the medical weeds here, but the dilation and curettage, which is the process of removing tissue from the uterus in cases of miscarriage and other things, has a medical gestation period between 4 and 12 weeks. So that you could, if you needed to say medically 12 weeks is the medical recommendation in that period of time. I mean, the answers are out there if you want to be genuine.
Right.
About where you stand. They just don't.
Yes. No, I think that's also something to consider here. And a lot of times when you have Eric Adams, when you have other Democrats, they make it very clear they don't want limits. And in a sense, when it's someone like Eric Adams who's saying, I don't think there should be any limits, I respect that more than someone who just says it should be between a doctor and a woman. Because
it's
like
a cop-out answer.
Yeah, it is. It's a runaround. Jackie, you're next up. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi, Grace. A friend texted me this weekend and said, your side has made abortions illegal, even in cases of rape and incest. And I thought, she is so uninformed. But then I was just online, and it was Kristi Noem of South Dakota defending her stance on abortion, even if it's rape and incest. And she's like, no. And Wyoming's a big state, you know, for a poor woman to have to travel to go get an abortion. So it is taking it away from women.
Yeah, and I think that we actually had a caller on Friday, and I was discussing this with Howie, who said there's going to be a lot of organizations now that offer to women who are going to have a hard time, you know, affording it or getting there, offer them travel to another state. I don't think that that's going to be... I mean, you're already seeing it with a lot of these companies, but there's also going to be nonprofits that are going to do the same thing. But Jackie, you just pointed out a good reason why, if you're living in a state and you disagree, it's a good time to vote for new people, if that is something that means a lot to you. 844-500-4242. We'll continue with your calls when we come back. I appreciate it. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Nothing is pressing and what, anymore.
Well, you better hope that they don't come for you, Clarence, and say you should not be married to your wife, who happens to be white. Because they will move back. And you better hope that nobody says, you know, well, you're not in the Constitution. You're back to being a quarter of a person.
We're back to the 50s.
Because that's not going to work either.
I think it's really easy as far as programming goes to scream and throw out things that have no basis in fact or what's actually happening. It's harder to have conversations with people.
In a McDonald's parking lot in America, damn it.
It's hard to have conversations and listen to people and maybe try to understand the topic, which is always my goal here. Whoopi Goldberg on The View is telling Clarence Thomas that you better hope they don't come for you, Clarence, and suggesting that soon interracial marriage will be banned in this country. It just reeks of hyper-partisan dishonesty. And I don't think it's, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone in the middle looks at that clip of Whoopi Goldberg screaming and goes, oh yeah, you know what, I think she's onto something. I don't really see that happening. Patricia, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for taking my call. It's political in some ways that I'm calling about, but in another way, it's just something I'd like some listeners to hear. I'm 83 years old, and in 1975, I gave birth to a Down syndrome boy. And I was married, and I had two other children that were normal. I hate that word, but if I, back then there was, they didn't do the testing that they do today for a pregnant woman to see if it's malformed or if it's a Down's. Back then, I kept telling the doctor that I didn't feel well, that there was something wrong, and he kept saying nothing. He said, "I'll put you in the hospital." And I said, "No, you can't do that. I have two young children, 2 and 4, at home." So he said, "Well, I'll give you a shot of penicillin." But consequently, what I'm trying to get at, had I known that Michael was a Down syndrome, I would have had an abortion from the go, right if the minute I knew. Because Down syndrome children were not treated like they are today. People that had them buried them away. And so in some respects, what I'm trying to say is that I feel abortion should be allowed on certain, you know, on incest or a deformed child, someone that will have a hard time in life. And that's what I couldn't bear with Michael.
Patricia, hold on. Patricia, I really appreciate the call. And I'm just taking in what you said, because it's obviously very emotional for you, very serious. I do want to offer up, and I don't know what that's like. I don't understand that. I can't walk in your shoes. I don't understand what that's like. But I have over the weekend been seeing a lot of women who do have Down syndrome children who are voicing a very different opinion as far as the amount of joy and love and all of that kind of thing that's brought into their lives. And I think that's something that you just have to know it to know it. Like, you have to have experienced it, and I haven't. But I'm glad you shared that, Patricia. I'm sure we're going to get some people now who are calling in who are going to disagree, but that's what it's for. Go ahead, Jared.
And that's what Patricia just brought up as another component of this too. The medical advances between 1972 and 2022 in genome therapy and identifying chromosomes and all of these different things, her pregnancy today would probably have a very different outcome. There'd be better care. There'd be better things like that. So that's kind of what she was getting into, is that, you know, it for her back then, it didn't, you know, it was this experience, but now it can be different, which maybe today she wouldn't have immediately had that thought, you know?
Yeah. I do think, though, that, you know, when you look at what Anna Navarro was saying on CNN, like, there was a lot of people on social media. I saw a lot of women on Fox. I know Rachel Campos Duffy was someone I listened to over the weekend who were pushing back on that and saying, you know, to use these people who have struggled as an example or as a political bat to hit the other side with and say, well, if only I had known, I would have had an abortion. I think that's wrong too. I think that for the other side, it makes people feel like, well, hold on a second. I have someone in my life who has that, and I wouldn't trade them for the world. They mean everything to me. And I'm saying that just completely genuinely. It's like, I think everyone should be able to voice their opinion, but I know for a fact that there's going to be people now who call in and say, hold on a second, I'm going to offer a different perspective on that, because it's a very, very emotional thing for a lot of people. 844-500-4242. I do appreciate the call. Frank, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, Grace. I just want to say this. I'm very happy with the decision, but I think they could have gone further and actually outlawed abortion, and they could have cited Roe itself for that. Back in the during the Roe case, what they said was they don't have the scientific, the data, the technology, or the understanding of what a human person is. We do now, as you've been talking about just now. So they, if they had cited Roe, and then they could have declared that that human being in the womb is actually a person and is protected under, I think it was the 14th Amendment. Simply a person, a human being objectively is just a 46 or 47 chromosome mammal. That is what a human being is, objectively, scientifically. So like I say, I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't go far enough. They could have. But what this is now, it's a great decision, don't get me wrong, but I think this is just simply the end of round one. We got 14 more brutal rounds to go. I'm hoping at the end of it we get a constitutional amendment. So what do you think?
No, I think that it's exactly what it should be. I think it's going back to the states and people can decide what they think is right. And, you know, it's good for you, Frank, that you have such a clear cut thing in your mind. But I think especially for women, it's a little bit murkier than that. But you'll be able to vote in your state for what you believe, and other people will be able to do what they believe. And then that's how it should be. I don't think it's up to the Supreme Court to be making that decision. And that's what they did. They gave the power back to the states. And usually that's something that most people would be excited about. And so, no, I don't think they should have gone further. And if anything, I think they were trying to get away from that exact thing, was to say, we're not going to decide this. We're going to let voters decide this. Thanks for the call, Frank. Phil, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Phil.
Yes. So actually kind of in a similar vein to Frank, I wanted to say that it kind of disturbs me that we keep talking about this, and I hate to say it like this, in the women's right to choose thing. You were saying that you think people should be able to vote on it. Are we allowed to vote on whether or not it's okay to just murder people in general? Like, at what point does an unborn person... at what point is an unborn person granted personhood rights? Like, that's the key moral question. It doesn't come down to religion or science or anything else. It is, at what point is this unique individual a person, and therefore, when do they get rights? That part of the discussion never seems to happen. And just to say that, well, they'd have a harder time in life, doesn't actually get down to that essential question of personhood. And this is actually the same debate that was happening around the slaves in the 1800s, is, well, are these people or are they property? And I think that this is actually rather similar, that we have to decide whether or not these are people or not. And if they are, you can't just kill them. And if they aren't, then they're the same as property, in which case, what does that say about us as a civilization?
Yeah, and I was having this conversation earlier today with Howie, Phil, and he said that one of his listeners had brought up the point that if you kill a pregnant woman, you are charged with double homicide, because they do consider the fetus to be a person. And I think that plays into what you're saying as well. It is. It's a moral question, I appreciate the call. I think it's something to think about. I know, and I hate sounding like this. I hate sounding like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's a good point. But I'm a human being. And the truth is that I think, if I'm going to be completely honest, I think more people are probably listening feeling that way than not.
But like you said in the opening, unlike the partisan screechers, you are pointing out that there are more viewpoints. These politicians and the protest nut jobs, their view is the only view.
Yeah, and I don't,
and
like
it's like
being,
you said, everybody does. They are making good points, because there are many points to be made.
Yeah, and you can't convince me that, for example, a very close family friend of mine who's in her 80s, who is the sweetest woman in the world, who's been praying for this day for the last however many decades. You can't convince me that she's a terrible person and that she's coming at this from a place of hate and trying to kill women and strip them of their rights, that just doesn't add up for me. And so while I'm very open to listening to things, I don't think demonizing either side is going to accomplish anything. Sue, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sue.
Hi, Grace. I'm just going to be really quick. All I hear is people saying, my body, my choice. My feeling is your choice is gone since you've decided to become pregnant. That choice is over because you were irresponsible or you didn't take the right precautions. And guess what? Game over. It's not your choice anymore. And I just say, I know it's very simple, Grace, but it just kills me that that's what people say. They almost use abortion as birth control, and it's just sickening to me. I just can't get over it.
Yeah, and you know what, Sue? And just because I've had these conversations before, I know what the counter argument that is, and it's what about cases of rape or incest? Now, I should clarify there that the cases of rape or incest, I think, make up for less than 1% of abortions. But that is usually, Sue, what people say back to an argument like that.
Right. I'm just saying, I truly believe, I agree with if it's a rape case or if it's a situation like that. It's a different situation. But once you decide to go off and be irresponsible, you know, people do this. They use abortion as birth control. That's what they do. Educate yourself, get yourself ready.
Yeah, there was a piece in Business Insider, and it was all about the TikToks that are being made by women who are saying, let me just read you the headline. Women on TikTok say hookup culture will be absolutely decimated if Roe versus Wade is overturned. And it's a lot of women basically saying to guys, if you know, you should stand up for Roe versus Wade because I'm not going to have sex with you on the weekends unless I think it's serious. I'm not going to have this hookup culture if I think I'm going to get pregnant. To which a lot of people were saying, well, that sounds like culture's going in a better direction than it is right now. Andy, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, Grace, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm a conservative, but, you know, I do have some mixed feelings about someone that might have been raped or something and not wanting to go through the trauma of that. But I always try to educate myself. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and how she was so pro-woman and everything. And I looked up over the weekend to try to find some information, and I found something at the University of Chicago, which she was at, where she basically said that, you know, it was Roe was a bad precedent, that she felt it was more of a doctor's right to practice than a woman's right, and she thought that she wanted to see just what's happened with it being overturned, it going back to the state legislature and then through the courts that way. And I'm just surprised that more isn't put on that. I see these people screaming in California and even friends on Facebook, and it just, you know, California, Massachusetts, we're not going to be changing anything. I was laughing at Charlie Baker's executive order because there was no bills rushing to ban abortions in Massachusetts. I just thought that was sad that he would try to jump into the limelight there with that. But, you know, I just think that, you know, what was done was correct. It does belong back in the states. You know, I'm a little bit disappointed that I live in Massachusetts for that reason, but you know, that's where it belongs. That's what the country was founded on. And like you say, you know, everyone has their right to their voice and opinion and their vote, and that's the way it should go.
Well said, Andy. I think a lot of people feel the same way as you do. And, you know, as far as Charlie Baker, I just saw him on the local news, and he just can't let a crisis go to waste. He can't let a chance to be disappointed go to waste. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. We still get asked all the time, does it really work? The answer is yes. The 3-Pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are odors. The Thunderstorm also can relieve allergies and sinus problems, and the safe ozone technology destroys up to 99.9% of air pollutants. Especially right now, the pollen is crazy, so make sure you get your hands on this 3-pack. If you're a value shopper like Officer Mark, then this offer is for you. The Eden Pure air purifier doesn't take up any floor space. It's small enough to hold in your hand, and there are no air filters to replace, saving you time and money. So get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We'll continue with your call calls. The number is 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the Roe versus Wade decision will affect the midterm?
I don't, because if you do any sort of research into the decision, you realize that it is going to the states, and I'm sure within the next couple of weeks, there'll be several organizations that will be offering to take women from one state to another if they want to get an abortion. And I think as time goes on and the news cycle continues, I don't think this is, it's already not people's number one issue, but I think it's going to fade out by the time November hits.
74% agree, no, it will not.
All right, let's go to the calls here. I appreciate everyone weighing in. Jerry, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, hi, Grace. Thank you. I just wondered, I hear all this stuff about my body, my choice, my doctor, and the woman involved. What are the legalities as far as the father goes? I'm not talking about these people that you mentioned earlier that are out for hookup parties or whatever. I'm talking about a guy that's really concerned about his and the woman's child. What are his rights?
That's a very, very good point. And I didn't really think about that till right now. In all of my morning research here of all these things, that never came up, which is kind of amazing. And it shows you how, when it comes to men, everyone became biologists over the weekend because suddenly men can't comment on this. You know, if you don't have a uterus, you can't comment. You can have a baby, but you can't comment on abortion.
Well, ahead, yeah, that plays into what you were talking about with misrepresenting some of the arguments to suit a narrative. You know, it's like the cries, well, now men should have to pay for bills starting at conception, and if that's the point. But yeah, there's no accounting for the decision of a couple in this. It is strictly, no, woman, men out, or pay.
Yeah, gender becomes a very real thing when you're trying to argue about abortion. Ed, go ahead. You're next up.
Hey, Grace. Great show, as always. I just wanted to speak really quickly. I have an older brother who's going to be 60 this year who has Down syndrome. And, you know, I sympathize with the woman that was on earlier saying how difficult life was for people with Downs back then. But my brother has led and still continues to lead an incredible life. Yes, there were some challenges along the way. People did make fun of him because he was different. But, you know, in the mid 80s, he was a Special Olympian from Maine who went to the National Special Olympics in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he'll never, well, he's starting to lose his memory now. So he will forget those memories. But, I mean, just incredible. And I feel bad for that woman and her experience. But
Ed, I really, I don't mean to cut you off. We're running out of time. I really appreciate that call, and I think a lot of people will. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Thanks, Ed.